in Guatemala for 10 years and back for a year, a home assignment, so we're excited to be here. For those of you that we don't know her well, hoping to get to know you even better in this next year, and just grateful to be here, grateful for this new year, this new opportunity, right? And I just wanted to reflect for just a few minutes on a passage that, not even a whole verse, that has just been resonating in my mind over this Christmas season. Is it all right if we continue Christmas today? Talk about a Christmas verse, is that good? It's good to reflect on the incarnation throughout the year, right? Not just on Christmas, but this passage from Luke chapter 2. I've gotten to that point in my life where I need reading glasses, so it's not just you, Asa, that's getting older. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "But the angel reassured them. 'Do not be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people.'" I just want to take a few minutes this morning and reflect on the last part of that. "I bring you good news that brings great joy to all people." Good news that brings great joy to all people. Good news, right? It's good news. The gospel. It's a message that I have spent 10 years trying to help people in Guatemala, and before that here, and you all know of this word, hopefully, and this message that is central to our faith, and that I've seen, and you have seen, change your own life, change others' lives, and it is good news, right? And Luke goes on to say, the good news is that Christ was born. Christ the Savior was born. That is the good news. It's good news because the birth of the Savior that we see in verse 11. But not just that, right? He wasn't just born. He wasn't just born. He came with a purpose, to live a perfect life, to die in our place on the cross. And that is why it is good news. That one of the best definitions of the gospel, which is something that we should spend a lot of time considering, reflecting on, even though you've heard it maybe all your life, or maybe it's the first time, I don't know. But it's something that we should be continually reflecting on and understand and know how to share it, right? That should be something that is central to our lives, because it's the power unto salvation, as it says in Romans 1:16. But 1 Corinthians 15 is probably the best definition in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, 2-4, that says this: It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. So that, my friends, is the good news. That's the gospel. Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and ultimately died in our place on the cross for our sins. Rose again, conquering sin and death. One day he will return, right? And we all look forward to that. That is the gospel. That is the good news that does what? What's the second part? That brings great joy. Brings great joy. We sang about it this morning. Brings great joy. How does it bring great joy? First of all, we talked about that it brings salvation. Ultimately, great joy comes as we put our faith and trust. We understand that we're sinners in need of Christ and that he died in our place. We put our faith and trust in him, and his Spirit comes and lives in us, and it gives us joy, right? Not just a happiness that comes and goes with circumstances. I understand and know and heard and seen that this has been a really hard year for a lot of you. But that joy that comes through salvation remains. Amen? It remains. It stays because we have the Holy Spirit who produces that in us. Even when we're going through difficult times, and it's hard to see that, but we have the hope of the Scriptures, of the gospel, that we can have joy, that we can continue on because of Christ. That's how it brings great joy. It brings salvation. Number two, it gives us power, right? I already mentioned the text from Romans 1:16. It says the gospel is the power unto salvation. But it's power into salvation, but I think sometimes we forget it's also power to change your marriage. Maybe it's been a rough year in your marriage. You want to focus on that in 2023. I know Jennifer and I are planning some time away. We're going to celebrate 25 years of marriage this year. We're planning a trip away. We're going to go to the marriage conference, which is a great way. If that's one of your New Year's goals, is to improve your marriage. It should be every year, probably, because we always have room for growth. At least I do. My wife's almost perfect, so she doesn't really need a whole lot of help. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, power to change your marriage, the gospel is, right? Because what do we have to do in marriages? Those of you that are married are going to be married, teenagers. I think some of you are getting ready to get married here, not too near distant future. What do we have to do daily in marriages? We have to die. We have to follow Jesus in his death, die to ourselves, and allow the Holy Spirit to help us to love our spouses. So the gospel can transform and give you power in your marriage, in your relationships, in any area in your work, wherever, whatever you're going to do in this new year. As we look to Christ, we look to what he did for us. He gave his life for us, died for us, rose from the dead for us. As we look to the cross daily, die to ourselves daily, gives us power to be a witness in our workplace, to do the things that he's called us to do that can oftentimes be difficult. The power is as the Holy Spirit takes the gospel message and changes, transforms us into the image of Christ. And third, the good news is great joy to all people by experiencing. Ultimately, the incarnation is Jesus, God in the flesh, tabernacling, coming and living and dwelling among us, right? It's God's presence. That is what we see in the incarnation. God wants to be close to his people and shows that through the incarnation by sending his son Jesus. That's incredible, is it not? That is completely different from every other world religion where we have to somehow climb a ladder to get to God. But God says, no, I'm coming to you and I'm showing you that through Jesus. That he's come, he wants to be close, and we can and have experienced his presence. We celebrate that at Christmas, that he came as a baby. But even better than that, this is hard for us to believe, and for me at least, to wrap my mind around, that he said, Jesus said, while he was here, that it's better if I go. How is that, Jesus? It's better if I go because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. I'm going to send him. He's going to be with you. He's going to dwell in you. We are the tabernacle now. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's better. So we have his presence. I love this. I often meditate on this text from the Psalms. Psalm 16, if you want to look for it. If not, I'll read it. But I love this. Psalm 16:11. You will show me, it says, you will show me the way of life, granting me, here's the word, joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever. The joy of your presence. God has given us his presence through his Holy Spirit so that we can experience joy. It's good news that brings not just joy, but great joy. It brings great joy because we have the Holy Spirit. We have his presence with us today, every day, no matter what we face. He's with us. He's walking with us. He's ahead of us. He knows us what's coming tomorrow. And he wants us to experience this fullness of joy. Not just a little bit, but this great joy. I've been really meditating on this last few years because I want to experience what it says in John 10:10, the abundance, the abundant life, right? Or in other places, the fullness in Psalms, fullness of joy. I want all of that. So how do we experience that? It's as we practice his presence. as we walk with Him daily, as we are in His Word and ask Him to speak to us, as we are working and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? As we commune with Him, as we have intimacy with our Father, we begin to experience, even though we're going through difficulty, we sense His presence and His peace and His joy, and it becomes more and more real. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes months, years, decades sometimes, as you walk faithfully with the Lord, as you daily open His Word. Maybe that's often a New Year's resolution or goal that everyone sets. I want to read through the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible, and I hope you do. But it takes months, days, months, years of continually developing that intimacy with Him. And then we'll begin to experience this great joy, that the reason that Jesus came, we'll begin to experience it little by little as we fight for intimacy with God through faith in Jesus. We will experience that. So, good news that will bring great joy. How? Salvation, power, presence. And lastly, good news that will bring great joy to who? To all people. God has entrusted a message to us. The message of the incarnation, the message of the gospel that Jesus gave His life, died, and rose again to us. And He brings great joy to all people through us. Like He gave us the message, gave us His Holy Spirit, gave us His Word that is preserved for thousands of years, that we have hundreds of different versions in our language so that we can then communicate, live out, and help others experience the great joy of walking with the Father. And that is our call. It says this good news brings great joy to all people. But there's still a lot of people that are not experiencing this, right? Who do you know in your life that is not experiencing great joy? Has not encountered Christ? Does not understand the gospel? We all have people in our lives that need this message. So I want to leave this this challenge for each of us as we enter 2023. When you think of three people in your world that need Christ, that don't know the Lord, that have not experienced. Maybe it's you today. You're here and you've never experienced this great joy that we're talking about. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you know Christ, but you've not learned to walk intimately with Him. There's no better way to start a new year than say, I want that. Give me that. Pray for that. If you don't have that desire, pray for it daily. God will begin to give you that hunger for Him and His Word and that intimacy with Him. But think of also others around you that have yet to encounter the living Christ. There's no better thing to do. There's no better joy that one can have than helping another person encounter Christ for the first time. And the Lord has given me the privilege to see that over and over in Guatemala, and there's nothing greater. There is nothing greater than helping someone come to faith in Christ and see their life transformed and to begin experiencing great joy. I'm thinking of faces and names right now of people that God has done that in, and there's nothing better. So who is it in your life? It's good news that brings great joy to all people as we communicate it. And then, I'm a missionary, right? So we got to talk about missions, too. If it's good news that brings great joy to all people. We here in this country are privileged to have access to the gospel, but there's still billions of people without access to the gospel. That is why we must not only, as it says in Acts 1:8, we're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, where else? The ends of the earth, right? Because there's still billions of people with no access. We have any kind of access, any time of the day, anywhere we want to the gospel. Praise the Lord, right? There's still many, many, many without that. So we must think of where we're at, but also those far away who have yet to hear the gospel, and do whatever it takes and find our place in the Great Commission. We're all called to make disciples of all nations. And so what is your role? As you think about this new year, what is your role in helping other people to experience this great joy in their lives, both here locally and globally? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this few moments in your word to be reminded that the Christmas story is so much bigger, Father, than sometimes what we think of it as the birth. But it's Jesus, it's God coming in flesh to live and to die and to bring great joy to all people. So God, we ask that first that we, each of us here this morning can, if we have not experienced this great joy, that Father, you would allow us to taste a little more, as the psalm says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste a little bit more of your goodness, your grace, and your love. And then find those around us. Whether it's as we go to lunch today, as we go back to work tomorrow, go back to school in a couple weeks, who is it, the person that sits next to us, that works with us, that has not experienced this good news that brings great joy? Help us to have eyes to see. Intentional.